أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, everyone. Welcome to our August 20th edition of Soul Food for college students. Alhamdulillah, getting together every single week to discuss spirituality, to discuss our faith, our principles, our morals through the lens of the Quran. And alhamdulillah, today we are going to be able to share a very, very short but sweet message on just literally two verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today's focal point is going to be about the descriptions of the people of paradise and the people who do not achieve paradise. And whenever this topic comes around, there is a very, very strong interest from people because, and very, very rightfully so, because, you know, paradise is something that at the end of the day is an essence of our faith, right? Believing in an afterlife is an essence of our faith, right? If you think about it, a big part of the message of Islam is to believe in an afterlife. And this is why the Meccans, right, that were in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they so heavily opposed the Prophet's message, because their addition or their version of the afterlife was very much different than what he was preaching on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, you know, in order to achieve paradise in Islam, you have to withhold certain things that will be desirable for you in this life. And so the Quraysh were really opposed to that. You know, the Quraysh were big on satiating any sort of desire that they have. The Quraysh were big on wealthy are up here and poor are down here. The Quraysh were big on the idea of, you know, men are up here and women are down here. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came around, all of that really changed. And because of that reality check that the Quraysh had received, they really hardly did, they denied the idea of an afterlife, right? And this is why they were so opposed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not because they hated him as a person, but the message that he was preaching was something that would hold every single one of them accountable. And the conversation of a hereafter sometimes also makes us nervous. I mean, how many of us, to be quite honest, how many of us get nervous when we hear descriptions of Jannah and Jahannam? How many of us, be honest here, how many of us sitting here right now get extremely, extremely anxious when we hear descriptions of paradise and of hellfire? Because, you know, for a lot of us, paradise and hellfire are very abstract ideas, right? How can I eat but never be full, but also never be hungry? How can I achieve something that's unlimited, right? These concepts to us as very, very limited human beings sometimes are very overwhelming, right? How is that possible? Okay. And then you hear descriptions of Jahannam, right? I mean, a lot of us know very basic descriptions of the people of hellfire. And, you know, one of the famous narrations that a lot of us are familiar with is this narration that says that, you know, backbiting is equivalent to eating the flesh of your brother. And when we hear that, we're like, whoa, that's a pretty harsh, you know, consequence for people who gossip about other people. And sometimes it makes us really, really nervous that, you know, like, do I fall into that category? I don't want to fall into that category because I don't want to be like those people. And so these two ayahs in Surah Al-Qasas we're going to go over today are going to help us understand the reality of the Jannah and the idea of hellfire. Who are the people of paradise and who are the people that struggle to get into paradise, right? And so in the 83rd verse of Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that tilka darul akhiratu naj'aluha lilladina la yuriduna 'uluwan fil ardi. Allah says, we grant them a home in the hereafter. We grant a home in the hereafter to those who do not seek superiority on earth or spread corruption. Allah says, لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا. Okay? لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا. This is a really interesting phrase in the Arabic language. Okay? لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا. What does the word عُلُوًا mean? Well, let's define لَا يُرِيدُونَ, right? لَا obviously in Arabic means they don't, or it's a negation, right? And then yuridu means something that you desire, okay? when I say ana yuridu, you know, something, or ana yuridu that, like I said, I want this, or I desire this, or I want that. So Allah is describing a people who will enter paradise, right? We will grant a home for the people in paradise who do not want, who do not seek. La yuriduna uluwan. Now, what does the word uluwan mean? That's a really, really good question. And the commentators, the scholars of tafsir, actually say that the word ulu means pride or conceit. Okay, pride or conceit. That one of the descriptions of the people that Allah lays out for us is a person who is arrogant. Okay, an arrogant, conceited, prideful person is one of the descriptions that Allah vividly uses in the Quran to discuss a characteristic of those who will not enter paradise. So he's saying, Allah is saying, we will grant a home. And this is very beautiful. Tilka darul akhiratu, right? Tilka daru will create a home, a land in paradise for everyone except, right? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we'll create a home in paradise, I mean, you think about this, right? Our homes in this life are so imperfect, right? Our homes in this life are filled with imperfection, filled with things that we may like, we may not like, right? Oh, I like that my house has 3 bedrooms, but I don't really like the 2.5 baths. Oh, I like that my house has, this type of AC unit, or I like that my home has this type of paint, but I don't like that, you know, this part of my house, I don't really like that much. Our homes, and it's very symbolic for the rest of our lives here in this dunya, will have things that we enjoy and have things that we dislike. Nothing in this life is perfect. Everything you can find a fault or a setback in, right? Even the most amazing thing that you'd love in this dunya has some sort of setback, right? Whether you love, and this is, and I encourage everyone to do a practice of this, by the way. We all love our family members, right? We love our family. We love our parents. We love our mother. We love our father. Those of us who have struggled in our relationship with our parents, may Allah help us, right? But it's something that we try to do. A lot of us try to build meaningful relationships with our parents and our siblings. And, you know, the fact that it hurts some of us when we cannot create those relationships is proof that we want it. Right? People who come up to people and say, you know, I really wish I had a better relationship with my mother, they're speaking very sincerely because it's bothering them, right? But there is some sort of imperfection within that relationship. Okay, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, tilka darul akhiratu, tilka darul akhiratu, you know, that in their home in the hereafter, everything will be perfect. You can't even imagine what the hereafter is like, y'all. You can't even imagine it. Actually, I want to share one thing. I remember I was looking at this before. And, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went on this journey called the Isra wal Mi'raj. This was, you know, when he was still living in Mecca. And Jibreel alayhi salam came down to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to go on a journey tonight. We're going to go on a journey. So strap up, get ready, right? Put your shoes on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in his sleep and he wakes up. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he takes him to the holy land of Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis, okay? And he takes him from Jerusalem to the heavens. And he takes him through the heavens. And Jibreel alayhi salam is introducing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to prophet after prophet after prophet. Adam alayhi salam, you know, Yusuf alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, right? Dawood alayhi salam. He sees Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He sees all these prophets, right? And then amongst this kind of, you know, journey, in this journey, Jibreel also gives the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a taste of paradise. He shows him what paradise looks like. And it's actually narrated in authentic traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life about what he saw in paradise. Would y'all like to know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in paradise? Because I know, like, 100%, that's like my dream, is like just to visualize paradise so I know like what I'm working towards. I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, you know, jannatul tahtiha al-anhar, you know, there's it's a paradise through which rivers flow and all these beautiful things. But, you know, we as human beings are very, very, we're very visual learners, right? And even if you can't visualize it, at least hearing about it really motivates you. And so one of the descriptions of paradise is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he and Jibreel, he passed by a group of people who were sitting and enjoying food and drink.
they were sitting and enjoying food and drink. And just looks like they were just having a good time. Just having a good time. They were relaxing. They were chilling. They were hanging out. They were enjoying each other's company. It was like they were like on like, you know, Malibu Beach, just, you know, the halal version of Malibu Beach, just kind of hanging out and, you know, relaxing, retired, having a good time. And the Prophet ﷺ, he looks at Jibreel. He says, "Yeah, Jibreel." He goes, "Ma hadha?" You know, he goes, "What is this?" Right? He goes, what are these people doing here and what are they doing?" And Jibreel alayhi salam, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, these are the people in the dunya, whenever they used to pass by a place of Allah's remembrance, a halaqa, a moment of prayer or reflection, they would always stop by and partake in it. These are people who, if they were driving by, or they were walking by and they heard the mention of Allah, they would stop whatever they were doing or wherever they were going, and they would give their time to be engaging in the remembrance of Allah. So because of this, in paradise, they're hanging out, enjoying food and drinking each other's company in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's paradise. How poetic is that, right? Like, you stop by and you engage in the remembrance of Allah, and Allah puts you with people in paradise that did the same thing as you, and now you're just hanging out and chilling. So maybe you know, missed a little bit of a gathering, or you missed a little bit of a social outing, but now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces that with the best social gathering of all time. You're in paradise just chilling with people, right? Subhanallah. Number two, it says that, you know, the Prophet, he saw people who put seed into the ground, like a seed from a plant into the ground, and they stood back after they planted the seed, and the seed sprouts immediately, and a tree grows within seconds, and it produces fruit, and they eat from it all within the blink of an eye. Can you guys imagine that? If any of you guys are, you know, I'm trying my hand at planting nowadays. You know, this green thumb that people talk about, I have no idea what it means because I obviously don't have it, right? It took me like 4 months to grow up. And now, alhamdulillah, you know, because my cat stopped chewing on the leaves of my chili plant, it's starting to grow and sprout a little bit. But planting takes effort, takes time, takes energy. It takes a lot of you know, patience from people. And the Prophet, he said that I saw people in paradise, they would plant a seed, and the seed would sprout immediately. A tree would grow from that small sprout, and the fruits would come out within seconds, and they would be enjoying the fruit from these trees. And so within seconds this happened. And the Prophet, he looks at Jibreel again. He says, "Jibreel, what is this? What is this? What's going on here?" And Jibreel alayhi salam, he says that these are the people that used to strive with their time, wealth, and talents fi sabilillah. These are the people who in this dunya, they used to strive with their time, their wealth, and their energy and talents fi sabilillah. Everything that they used to do used to tie back to their relationship with Allah. I make a lot of money, I got to give some sort of sadaqah to benefit the community. If I have a talent that I can share with the community, I'm going to give my time to the community. And I sacrifice things that are luxury to me, and I do it for the sake of Allah fi sabilillah. And these are the people who, and it's so poetic, again, look at the descriptions of paradise, they're so poetic. The people who used to sacrifice and strive, when they reach paradise, they don't have to wait for anything. They put a seed into the ground, the seed sprouts out, tree comes out, fruit comes out, and they're enjoying the fruit from the trees. Their investments are just like that. It's just like that. It's like, you know, when people start investing into Bitcoin, they're like, "I want my money like that." Right? Like, investment is like a big game now, or I want my money to be returned like that, right? And in this life, the reality is that you may not get an investment in return, right? You may not get your investment returned to you in this life, right? You might invest your money in certain things, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, well, this didn't grow as much as I thought it would," right? Or, you know, you hear the narrations that sadaqah, you know, or zakat, it purifies your wealth. And, you know, you're told that, you know, your wealth is becoming purified, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return your wealth by even more than whatever you gave. And sometimes you see it, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds it from you from this life. But in the hereafter, let it be known that those who invest fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah in this life, undoubtedly they will get their return in the hereafter, right? And so these are just some of the descriptions from paradise. And this is something that really motivates me as a person when I read these descriptions, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, you know, tilka darul akhiratu, you know, naj'aluha lilladina la yuriduna uluwan fil ardi. The people that are not going to have homes in paradise are the people who think they're better than other people. The people who walk upon this earth with arrogance, لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ, right? The people who seek superiority over other people. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he actually said that this ayah in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 183, when Allah is describing these people, he said that this qualifies even a person who wants the rope of their sandals to be superior to the one of their brothers, right? And this is a really powerful thing, by the way. And I want to kind of explain this because a lot of us are like, oh my God, like that's me, right? Like I always want to be better than other people. No. It doesn't mean people who want to look good. This is not describing the people who wish to look good or to make money in this life or to live a successful life in this dunya. This is not what this verse is talking about, right? Because there was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I like to have my garments looking good and my shoes looking good. Is this a kind of arrogance, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, La, inna allaha jamilun yuhibbul jamal. Okay, he says, inna allaha jamilun yuhibbul jamal. That Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. So just because you dress well doesn't mean that you're automatically arrogant, right? Just because like you want to wear like Express clothing or like clothing from Zara or you know wherever you buy your clothing from, it doesn't mean you're automatically like a harami, right? You're not like, you don't qualify yourself as an arrogant, like, you know, really boastful, prideful person just because you like to dress well. Arrogance is an intention. Arrogance is an intention. This is why Allah actually says in this ayah in the Quran, he says, لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ يُرِيدُونَ. What did I say yuridu means? It means you want it. You want to feel superior over other people. You desire that feeling of pride. Like it fuels me when I know that people like me more. And this is why, by the way, I always tell people that, you know, like social media, man, social media is a challenge. Wallahi, it's a challenge for our young generation. And forget younger generation, even older generation. Man, I see my parents scrolling on Facebook all the time. What am I saying? You know, like it's a challenge. It's a struggle. You know, it's a test. You know, because social media tells you that you got to be better than everybody else. You got to look better. You got to have a better life. You got to have better meals. You got to be funnier. You have to have better life stories. You have to have this better, that better, this better, that better. And it gets into your head that, you know what? I just have to be better than other people. But Allah says, if you want a home in paradise, refrain from wanting, refrain from seeking superiority over other people. Don't seek being prideful over other people. That's what gets you a one-way ticket out of paradise, right? And then Allah says, wala fasadan. Wala fasadan, and they spread corruption. Corruption, by the way, in this ayah specifically, in this specific verse, the scholars they say that fasad is a description of mischief or oppression, right? Wala fasadan. These people are people who engage in just, you know, oppressing other people, man. They just spread mischief all over the earth, right? They just try to like create trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not enjoy or he does not love that characteristics. And then Allah says, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the happy kind of end to people's lives, the beautiful result of people's lives, the ending that people really want is awarded to those who are mindful of God. Okay? وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That the people who are going to get what their reward, that is for the people who are muttaqeen, people who are God conscious, always thinking about Allah whenever they do anything. Putting sadaqah in the donation box, I gotta think, why am I doing this? Am I doing this sincerely for the sake of Allah? When I post a picture on Instagram, am I doing it because I just want to keep in touch with other people and I just want to kind of make sure that I'm in a community? I'm not doing this because I want to feel better than other people. I'm not doing this because I want other people to like me more than other people. It's all about intention. This is why it says, لا يريدون علوا في الأرض, right? Don't ever desire to be prideful over other people. And so in the last ayah, and this is the last thing we'll cover today, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. And he says, whoever comes before God with a good deed will receive even a better reward for it. Okay? مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. The people who do good in this life, when they go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will get a reward that far supersedes the deed that they did in this life to get that reward, right? And this is something that's really, really motivating, right? You do something small that's good in this life, Allah will reward you with something that is like exponentially better in the hereafter. And this is why Allah's mercy always supersedes his punishment, by the way, right? We talked about this the other day. Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi, right? Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. That indeed, my mercy supersedes my wrath. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is in favor of giving people rewards rather than punishing people. If you look at the descriptions of like reward versus punishment in Islam, it's always one-sided. It's always one-sided. You know, like when the teacher wants to give a kid basically takes an exam. The kid takes an exam and they miss a question. And the teacher is like, oh, well, okay, well, I'm not going to dock the whole point off, but I'll dock half the point off. I still want you to get partial credit for it because it was kind of right. Y'all feel that example, right? I remember when I was in school, I was like, I love those teachers. Be like, yeah, Safi, you know what? I'm going to, you know, even though you answered that question wrong, I'm going to give you partial credit because you were on the right track, even though your end answer was wrong. I was like, Allahu Akbar, may Allah guide you to Islam, right? And so, you know, so Allah is a lot like that. Allah is a lot like that, that he wants us to do good. He wants us to do good. Allah is not a Rabb who is just waiting for his creation to slip up. He's like, let's see. When is Dawood going to miss prayer, right? Like, that's not how Allah works. Allah's not going to be like, let's see. Let's see when Amina decides to yell at her mom. Time to go in on this punishment right here, right? Like, that's not the way Allah functions. Allah is literally, like, waiting for us to do something good. And even if we partially do something good, he will give you a reward that far supersedes that partial good deed that you did. It doesn't even make any sense because to us, we're so like, you know, we as human beings are very calculative, right? We're like, okay, you know what? 5 + 5 = 10. If you did 5 + 5, you get 10, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you know what? 5 + 5 sometimes equals 20 because you deserve that 20. That's the mercy of Allah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so beautiful, is because he adds that mercy onto whatever small deed that you did. And then check this out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the last part of verse 84, he says, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَاتِ فَلَا يُجْزَى الَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allahu Akbar. He says, whoever comes with an evil deed, okay? وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَاتِ, whoever comes with an evil deed, فَلَا يُجْزَى الَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah, it says, whoever comes with an evil deed will be punished only for what he or she has done. So the same does not apply to sin, right? So a good deed, even if it's partial credit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you an exponential reward. But then Allah says, whoever does an evil deed, whoever makes a mistake, all you will be punished for is a small mistake. That's it. I'm not going to expand your punishment. I'm not going to magnify your punishment. I'm not going to make your punishment something bigger than what we've done, the small mistake that you made. And even at that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who repent. And when you repent, that deed's gone. That evil deed's gone. That sin is gone. It's like wiped away as if it was never, ever there. You know, sometimes one of our teachers kind of really, really beautifully illustrated to us what the power of forgiveness of Allah really is. And I will share that with you guys today. One of our teachers, he said that the power of Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness is like when you make a mistake on a piece of paper, right? When you write an answer on an exam and you write the wrong answer, but you erase it with your eraser and you write the right answer next to it and then you turn it in. The teacher will be able to see that you erased and that you rewrote your answer to make it right. Therefore, you made an initial mistake. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maghfirah, it's as though when you write your answer and you erase it, there was not even a trace of a mistake left. The moment you raise your hands and you say, Ya Allah, forgive forgive because you are the best of forgivers, so forgive me, right? That even that erase mark, the mark that showed that even you made a mistake, that's gone. It's like it was never even there to begin with. Subhanallah. This is a really powerful two verses in the surah of Surah Al-Qasas, this chapter of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who are guaranteed homes in paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who are those who are, you know, known to be inhabitants of paradise. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who are forgiven for all of our mistakes and rewarded exponentially for whatever good deeds that we have been able to do in this life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to all be together in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka. Wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan ya Allah. I hope everybody enjoyed today's session. Short but sweet. May Allah reward all of you guys. And we love you guys for the sake of Allah. We are planning, inshallah, very soon to bring back even more programming to in person here at Roots. So keep an eye out for that. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. We hope to see you guys very soon. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, guys.